Welcome to Dream Business Radio, the place to create your dream business now. Get ready for some inspiration, some encouragement, some proven business building strategies, and a couple of new ideas
that you haven't even thought of.
It's time to leave Slow and Steady as She Goes to the other entrepreneurs, because this program is all about speed and fast results. And now, broadcasting from his floating home somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, the dream business coach himself, Jim Palmer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another fantastic live episode of Dream Business Radio. I'm your host, Captain Jim Palmer, the dream business coach, coming to you today from beautiful and sunny St. Augustine, Florida. Sunny, that's why we got the curtains closed. You can hopefully see my face, or you're going to tell me to open the curtains. I don't know. I'm the founder of the Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program, creator of No Hassle Newsletters, and host of Dream Business Radio. This is episode 594. Good Lord. I got a super special guest today. I was kind of saving him for number 600, but he said it's now or never. So Dr. Joey Fawcett, how you doing today, buddy?
Well, I can come back for 600 if you'd like.
We could do that. Oh man, it's going to be a great show. By the way, this episode of Dream Business Radio is brought to you by what else? The Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program, now in its final year. That's right, this is the last year. I've December 31st. Boom, the whole thing's gone. And it will be motoring somewhere out in the desert West or something like that. I don't know. But if you are an entrepreneur who wants to learn how to create multiple streams of revenue, build your profitable business faster, charge what you're worth so you two can work 3 days a week, then you want to check out the group at dreambizcoaching.com, dreambizcoaching.com. At the end of my show today, I'll tell you how you can get free copies of my books, which is pretty cool. All right, let me properly introduce Joey. Excuse me, Dr. Joey, and we'll bring him right on.
Captain Jim.
I know, right? Oh, boy. He is an executive coach, a culture architect. I love culture architect. That is highbrow stuff. And he's host of the Work Positive podcast. His best-selling book, Work Positive in a Negative World Team Edition, is the manifesto for developing your positive work culture. Dr. Joey has spoken to thousands of people within companies, associations annually. He's been doing that for a long, long time, like probably 20 years, I believe. Well, you can correct me when it's his turn to talk. He is a prolific writer of over 1,000 articles that have appeared on the websites of Fox News, CNBC, Wall Street Journal, Journal Market Watch, MSNBC, Entrepreneur.com, and countless others. Dr. Joey's content reaches people in more than 50 countries. He's very popular. And I think with that, on that note, Dr. Joey, once again, welcome to Dream Business Radio.
Jim, the only way this could be better would be is if I was sitting beside you in St. Augustine, which happens to be one of my favorite places to be.
And where would we go after the show's over? What's your favorite place?
I ain't telling.
It probably starts with teeny and rhymes with martini. Anyway, so you and I are about the same age. You've been in business a long time. I've been in business a long time. And I'm always curious, you know, what I've learned over the years of doing almost 600 shows is people, they love the content, the strategies, the little nuances and nuggets of wisdom, but they also love the stories because many people are starting or maybe they're in struggle right now. So what was your early entrepreneurial journey look like? Did you get out of high school and go, I'm going to be an author and executive coach. Let's make it happen.
No, it started much earlier than that. It actually started, my entrepreneurial journey, Jim, started as a 9-year-old. I did what most 9-year-olds do, and that is, hey, Dad, can I borrow the lawnmower? Oh. And I was going to go cut lawns in the little neighborhood in which I lived. I think I lasted about half of the first yard and couldn't breathe anymore. And we discovered that I was allergic to, of all things, mown grass.
Oh, boy.
And that set up a viral infection in my lungs. So I spent a week, I'm in third grade now, a week in Duke University Hospital, which if you've ever been there, it's Duke South now. It's that ancient looking building.
Okay.
The backside of the new beautiful Duke University Hospital. And they literally gave up on me, everyone except for my mom. Dad was home with my younger brother. But I remember back in the day, Jim, and you'll remember this, although I would like to point out you're older than me. But
so I've earned the right to say back in the day.
Yeah, but we both earned the right to say back in the day, you know, black and white TV. And when TVs took up, you know, there were pieces of furniture. Marcus Welby was on. And it seemed like every time I watched Marcus Welby, when they put a person in the tent, you know, the oxygen tent or whatever, you knew that person was going to die. But Marcus Welby would always rush in at the last second and save them. I was in one of those tents, and I was convinced I was dying. And I was like,
gosh. Oh, so you're about 9 right now?
Yeah, I'm 9. And my mom is there with me sleeping on the floor, Jim. She's 83, and we had this very conversation last weekend. So she says, well, you know, the worst place I ever slept was on the floor at the foot of your bed. Mom, don't tell anybody that. But the medicine they put in that mist tent that was supposed to help cure my viral infection in my lungs, I was allergic to that. And so I'm coughing, turning blue, green, can't breathe. And I remember my mom reaching, thanks, Jeff, appreciate you, man. My mom reaching up under the mist tent, grabbing my hand and saying, son, I'm positive you're going to make it through the night.
Wow.
Boom. So that really cast the die for me and understanding. Obviously, I made it through the night. That really cast the die for me in terms of vision for you see what you look for, because I knew my mom believed that. So I piggybacked on her belief.
Okay.
Came back home, and within a few months, something showed up in our mailbox from the Sales Leadership Club. So here I am in Eastern North Carolina. It's 100 degrees, 100% humidity, and it's August, and I am selling inscribed Christmas cards door to door. And was pretty successful at it. I got enough to buy a 3-speed bike.
Wow.
That was big back then. That's as many gears as we had. 3-speed.
That was my first bike too.
Yeah. And I got a cassette recorder. See, that was a grade up from 8-track because you could record on cassettes. And then I got a telescope. I finally got rid of the telescope a few years ago. I just kept it around as a memento of remembering this experience. So I began my entrepreneurial journey in that way.
You know, so first of all, I'm super glad the tent didn't live up to its reputation. You know, I'm a big fan of books, as you know, authoring books, reading books. And one of the things I like about your books is kind of the way they're written. So there's the words, obviously, but then books are designed. It's kind of like, what do you mean, the cover? No, there's a design to books. I notice, so your book, Work Positive in a Negative World, which, by the way, is so needed right now. So my first question is, why did you write this book before I get into the great design work? Why did you decide to write Work Positive in a Negative World?
Yeah, we've actually had 2 editions of Work Positive in a Negative World. The first was published by Entrepreneur Magazine back in 2011, and the second in 2020. And that's the team edition that David Hancock and Morgan James Publishing did. So the 2011 version with Entrepreneur Media came out, Jim, because you may remember a slight recession back in 07, 08.
Yes.
So one day I was on the road speaking, you know, like you, and speaking to all these different groups and companies and associations and things. And all the money dried up for training and development. There were no more meetings, you know, there was no nothing. And my wife looks at me one day. And by the way, we're still married. We've been married 41 years. But she looks at me and she says, honey, isn't it time for you to travel?
Get out.
That's right. That's like, I'm tired of looking at you, boy. Yep. So I realized at that moment when I heard myself respond to her, well, yeah, it is. But the cash cow that I've been riding was slaughtered. I realized, okay, I got to do something with my time. So I was convinced, having grown up with stories of the Great Depression, back when that was an economic rather than a medical term, hearing those stories of the Great Depression from my grandparents, I was convinced the similarities were being made by, you know, popular media then between the Great Recession and Great Depression. So I said, somebody must have started a business in the Great Depression. that's still thriving today? Who are they? But more importantly, Jim, how did they do it? What were their habits, their success habits? What were the activities that drove the success of that company to still be in existence today? So I started doing some research among persons that I refer to now as Great Depression gurus. What did they do? How did they do it? And so I came up with five core practices or sets of habits that comprise the work positive framework that we know now creates positive work culture in companies literally all around the world. And I started practicing those. They began working even in the midst of an economic downturn. Downturn may be the greatest euphemism in the world to describe that period of time. But anyway, it worked. And so I began writing about it and sharing it with other business owners. They liked it. Entrepreneur Media picked up on one of my articles and said, hey, what about a book? And so we did. Now, what I realized between 2011 and 2020 was that while that book was written for entrepreneurs and owners and C-suite, so often positive work culture change starts there and you got to have ownership, leadership, buy-in, but it dams up at about the mid-level manager. There's just something, the trickle runs out or what it is, but there's just something about the initiative that stops at that level. So this updated version that Morgan James did in 2020, Work Positive Negative World Team Edition, was written for teams and specifically those managers who are leading teams.
And I think you actually touched on, without knowing it, because I don't tell my guests the questions I'm going to ask them, but you said there are five things. Now, one of the things I noticed when I was reviewing that book in preparation for this wonderful interview, you have perceived the positive, conceived the positive, believed the positive, achieve the positive, and then receive the positive. Is that the five you're referring to?
Those are the five core practices, and they all rhyme. So when I'm standing on a platform in front of 1,200 people or I'm on Dream Business Radio, I can remember them.
Okay. Well, touch on that. Don't touch on all five because we only got a half hour show. But touch on, first of all, why did you do that? I mean, was that, why did you come up with perceive, conceive, believe, achieve, and receive? Was that like divine intervention, or is that what you studied?
Well, yeah, I'd like to claim it was divine intervention. There's probably more of that going on in my life than I ever want to acknowledge. Why those? Well, those were the core practice. I refer to those as the five core practices of work positive framework. That's how the sets of habits of those Great Depression gurus coalesced, really. And I can remember having all the research stretched out on a really long table, a dining room table, and I looked at it and it just emerged. So yeah, there was some divine intervention there. But just to hit it quickly, perceive is focusing on the positive and filtering out the negative. It's not that the negative doesn't exist. I mean, economic downturns happen, but you discover how to focus on the positive, which puts you in a great position to claim the opportunities. Secondly is conceive. These are the relationships. So you focus on positive people, filtering out the negative ones. And so how do you deal with negative people without becoming one yourself is the real crux of that. And then how do you put together dream teams based on these core practices? The third has to do with what everybody's seeking to do to create a positive work culture today is that how do we engage the workforce? So this is the emotional engagement so that you release innovation and creativity in your company. You achieve stellar success when you do that. And Jim, those are three internals, perceive, conceive, and believe. The fourth is achieve. That's the physical manifestation, if you will, of the previous three. Productivity is key here so that you're getting more done in a day than you used to in 2 weeks or a month or something. And the fifth core practice, receive, is what really surprised me. And I know your own journey with Serve First has led you to the same conclusion. But these Great Depression gurus all gave back to customers, but to their communities and discovered that they could not outgive. And so there's an ethical imperative, even mandate here, to give to those people who keep the lights on, whether it's team members, customers, clients, or your community.
I talked about that yesterday on our mastermind call.
You did.
About Serve First. And, you know, I think where I first read it was, I think he was called a metaphysical scientist or something, Foster Hibbert. He said, live on 80%, donate 10%, and save 10%. That was what he found out when he studied hundreds of high-income earners, which I thought was pretty amazing. Also in that book, Doggone, it's 3:15. I got to get moving here. Not that it hasn't been great. There's five magical words that can help you transform your work culture from a negative to a positive workplace. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, basically, those same five words that we just looked at there is perceive. I really hope that you can, if you get one takeaway from this today, I hope it's that you understand you can train your brain. You can be the master of your thoughts. And that's not just some woo-woo stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. This is, you train your brain just like you train a muscle, which means you break it down just like you do when you're working out, riding a bike, whatever it is you do. You break it down and then you build it back up. And so examining why you're thinking what you're thinking, that's the real key. It all, the work positive culture starts and stops in your head. That's where it is, as well as your success for a dream business or whatever else you're trying to do. So those five words are perceive, conceive, believe, achieve, and receive.
Well, so that kind of leads, so it's in your head for sure. And it doesn't, as you say, it's not woo, but so somebody who's being not influenced, but affected by maybe the current economic conditions today, why does that not determine how much success they're going to enjoy or achieve?
Yeah, because there's another reality, and it's one that you're not choosing to see in that moment. And what you're choosing to see really has two huge influencers, Jim. One is you see what you look for. So what you've always seen becomes the determiner or the filter through which you see the current realities. And those scripts, those vision scripts are from growing up, or Jim Rohn was fond of saying you're the average of the five persons with whom you spend the most time. So the people that you associate yourself with, those also determine it. But the big determiner that most people just marinate their brains in regardless is this 24/7 news cycle that's on radio and TV now. And if you're marinating your brain in that, in other words, more than 30 minutes a day, you are limiting your success. Because if it leads, it bleeds is their mantra. Look at every newscast. The bloodiest, worst stories are up front. And then, oh, by the way, if you're still having brain activity at the end of that newscast, they may give you a warm and fuzzy just to tease you so you can come back and be soaked in that blood again. If it bleeds, it leads. They're in business to monetize negativity. And you just need to own up to that. And if it's, I don't care if it's even playing in the background. People say, oh, well, I've got it on just for noise. Wrong. Yeah. It's influencing your brain. You're marinating in it. It is shaping and forming your thoughts. So while it may be easy to try to blame everything on your parents or the people you work with, you know, it's hard to fly like a turkey. It's hard to soar like an eagle if you're flying with a bunch of turkeys, right? No, it's the exposure to news, radio and TV news primarily, because those are push media and they're pushing these thoughts into your brain, telling you what you think. Well, with your amygdala, and I promise not to geek out, about the third time one of those fears traffics your brain can no longer distinguish between a fear and reality. And so you're buying that fear as reality, and it's just not true. Train your brain to focus on the best instead of the worst, the beautiful instead of the ugly, and things to get excited about and praise instead of to curse. And that's where you begin to see opportunities.
You know, I used to teach something like that, not as eloquently as you just did, but, you know, talking about how the brain can't distinguish between your subconscious. In other words, I said, well, if you wake up, if you've ever had a nightmare, like you've been chased by a black bear or a grizzly or something, or maybe you've had the other kind of dream, which might be more pleasant. We'll just leave it at that. Your body has a natural reaction to it. And it's all, but so actually you can program your brain. The more you focus on the good, the positive, the what's possible, et cetera, you can not trick your brain, but you can condition your brain.
Train it.
And train it. So I think that there's so much negativity. Oh, like you mentioned, the news, but there's a lot of negativity in the workplace, not my workplace, but, you know, I hear all the time from people who work in companies and things like that. There's just, how can you as a single person, even especially if you're not like the boss or whatever, how can you unleash positive energy, you know, in the workplace? Well, first of all, if even if it's for a selfish reason, like you personally want to get more done and you know, achieve more.
Yeah, great question. Well, first of all, let's not underestimate the power that one person has in a work culture, Jim. One person can be the start of something uber transformational for a work culture. I mean, just think about back pre-bombing of the Twin Towers, right?
Okay.
You remember the guy who tried to light his tennis shoe on fire?
Yes.
Because it was a bomb? That one guy caused TSA and everybody else to freak out, right? And now we have to take our clothes off with perfect strangers before we can get on an airplane, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Including taking shoes off. By the way, whenever I'm in those lines, I'm looking ahead to see who has boots on. I don't ever want to be behind the people with boots. I want the folks with loafers on, right? So don't ever underestimate the power of one person to have massive change. Now, how do you as one person begin that? Well, first of all, just like I was saying, avoid all push media. Just step away from the TV remote control. By the way, same thing goes for the evenings as it does in the mornings, because if you're watching, if you're falling asleep during the evening news, guess what your subconscious mind works on all night?
That's
you're
right.
You're trying to catch a murderer or solve a case or, you know, fix the economy or something. So push back from that. Secondly, just opt out of, be a conscientious objector to negative work conversations. And look, those happen in Zoom breakout rooms as well as around coffee pots and water coolers today. Mm-hmm. First of all, when one of those negative conversations is going on, you have some power, so exercise it right there. And I want to empower you with this today. Three things that are easy to do. One, redirect the conversation. So let's say the conversation is somebody's talking about, you know, Joey, what a horrible boss he is, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Just redirect it and say, man, Captain Jim was live from St. Augustine, Florida the other day, and the weather was great, and that's one of my favorite places to be, and I want to go back down there. If you can't redirect, let's say I call them Eeyore vampires, Jim, the Eeyore vampire continues on and on and on, then try to reframe it. Say something like, well, you know, okay, Joey's got some growing to do to be a better leader, and I really hope he begins to find a different game here pretty soon, develop his stuff. But the last time I deposited a check, it cleared the bank, right? So there's something positive to say about it. Just change the polarity on the conversation. Then if you try to redirect and reframe and neither of those work, Jim, remove yourself from the conversation.
Eject.
Zoom breakout room, step away from the coffee pot or the water cooler, because it's contagious. It's more contagious than COVID ever was. And that's the negativity. And you become a conductor of it or purveyor of it. You'll go home and share it with the dog and the cat and the spouse and the kids. And you'll all live in the house that you're building. You'll deliver the mail to the wrong address, but that negativity by taking it home. But that negativity really affects you. So just step away out of that. So those are two really easy things that you can do right now to be that one person that starts.
100%. Now, you wrote other books, two of them I want to ask you about, and we can pick one which we'll go with. So you wrote a book called Small Hinges Swing Big Doors, which I love that. And then there's another book, and I don't know which one is the latest one, is Do One Thing. Which one is the most recent one?
Do One Thing. Do One Thing is the most recent. And I have the Work Positive podcast, as you know, because you've been on it, right? And I took at the end of every one of my podcast episodes, I asked my guest one key question. And that's, what's one thing Work Positive Nation can do today to create a positive work culture right where they are? And so these experts share their one things with me. So I took 15 of those experts and I wrote a chapter about each of them. We have their shorts on YouTube and on our website. And so that's what the Do One Thing book is about. Because so often, to your point earlier about underestimating the power that one person has, often we think there's got to be a whole team or a department or a division or something that decides to get positive. No, you as one person can do it. Now, with all due respect to Jim Collins, who has sold more books than I ever have yet, anyway, you know, his BHAGs,
the big hairy audacious goals.
Right. I just don't know how many BHAGers there are in the world, but we can all dot something. We can do one thing today to begin to create a positive work culture. So that's why the Do One Thing title.
That's awesome. You know, it reminds me of a little bit of the message from Serve First. And, you know, what I was struggling with for years was that I see different very successful entrepreneurs, and they're like building school rooms in Africa or putting in all new water systems, doing all these big things. That I don't know if I can do that. But yet I chose to adopt the message, one person helping one person makes a huge difference in the one person's life. And yep. Referencing our friend George. Anyway, yeah. So sometimes you do have to reframe what you're able to do, meaning don't put off doing something because you want to do something huge. Just start with something, right?
Start today, right? Yeah. Just take some massive action today, or what for you may be massive action. And in the Work Positive and Negative World Team Edition book, a conceived section, the middle chapter of that section, Jim, is compare and compete rarely. And you just put your finger on the pulse of something that paralyzes most of us. I can't do what Jim Palmer does. I can't do what Joey Fawcett does. You know, I just can't do that. So we allow that fear to paralyze us. Comparing and competing serves no purpose. You are the only you we have out of what, between 7 and 8 billion people now. And there's a creative reason for that. So do you and do your one thing. And that will begin to create a positive work culture revolution right where you are.
We've got about 5 minutes left. I want to ask you, I was checking out your blog, which is full of good stuff. It looks like you post in there regularly, which is good check mark from Jim as far as being effective content marketer.
Right.
So there's three blog posts I want to ask you about, but looks like I'm going to start with one just in case we run out of time. 5 questions to ask yourself daily. Now, I'm not going to test your memory live here, but what am I thinking? Who am I attracting? Why am I working? How am I doing? And where am I going? Briefly touch on that.
It's the 5 core practices we've just named: perceive, conceive, believe, achieve, and receive. You know, what am I thinking? Right? That's all about perceive. Conceive, what was the question for that one? Who am I attracting?
Why am I working?
Right. Why am I working? Simon Sinek's done a great job of helping us all focus on why. Why are you working? And that's the path to emotional engagement. What's the 4th one? That's the Achieve Core Practice.
How am I doing?
You know, just looking at how productive I am. What are my results? Really be results focused, because sometimes small hinges do swing big doors. And so it might be a little bit of effort that brings a great result. And then where am I going is that ethical mandate that I was talking about earlier for the Receive Core Practice.
3 ways to make time to read. I'm like, wow. Cause you know, back in the day, here we go again. I used to have a to be read pile. This is before Kindles and everything else. So you actually get books shipped to the house. I had a to be read pile. It's like, I'm not the fastest read in the world for sure. So share some ideas, 3 ways to make time to actually read.
Yeah, it is. I love our ability to consume content now. And there's so many creative ways you can do it. I at one time had 4,000 volumes in my library.
Wow.
Now I gave all those hardbacks away because I just, I'm an author, a writer, and I love the feel of paper, but I just went to Kindles and I've got a Kindle Paperwhite that I wear out. So my goal is to have read more than 60% of the books in my Kindle. Cause like you, I collect them. Right. So, I mean, you can read it on Kindle. You can listen to them. You can pick up your iPhone or your smartphone and read while you're waiting to get into a doctor's appointment. You can, while you're waiting to pick up a kid from school, while you're waiting for your Instacart order to come out to your spot in the grocery store parking lot, right? Whatever it is you're doing, you've got amazing ways to do that. I'm convinced if the average person would just take the time they spend, take half the time you spend scrolling through Facebook or Instagram and read instead, your brain's just going to be so much healthier.
Yeah, man. Good stuff. Dr. Joey, how can people connect with you? Where can they get your books? Do you want to go to your website? Just go to Amazon. And then where do you want them to connect with you?
Wherever finer books are sold. And Amazon seems to be the place where everybody goes for everything. Thank you, Jeff Bezos. Just go there and put my name in and you'll find all these books. By the way, right now we're running a special on the Work Positive in a Negative World Team Edition book. The Kindle edition, that's only 99 cents. And we have a community aspect in there. You've got QR codes. You can scan those and go into the Work Positive community and interact with other people who are reading the book also and learn from them. Peer-to-peer learning is the strongest.
And what's your home base website?
Yeah, workpositive.today. Please feel free to go there and you'll discover Something to Talk About, which is a course that's yours absolutely free that will help you change the way you talk about work, which of course changes your mindset around work, which of course changes your work and makes it more positive. Also, you'll find an opportunity to subscribe to the Work Positive newsletter, which comes out weekly and directs you to the blog, our Work Positive podcast. And I always include an excerpt from one of my books in that newsletter too.
I'm sensing a real theme with your marketing, Work Positive.
Yeah, it's trademarked, my friend.
Which is good stuff. So workpositive.today.
Workpositive.today, exactly.
Good stuff. Man, you guys got to connect with, he's got some amazing content. His books are great. You got to really connect with Dr. Joey Foster. Thanks so much for being my guest today, pal.
Thank you, buddy. Love you, man.
Hey, you too. Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special interview with best-selling author, executive coach extraordinaire, Dr. Joey Foster. Connect with him at workpositive.today. You can connect with me at getjimpalmer.com. And if you're interested in joining again, me and right now, 25 very smart entrepreneurs in my Dream Business Mastermind, go to dreambizcoaching.com, dreambizcoaching.com. This interview will live on in infamy on my YouTube channel in a couple hours. And oh yeah, remember, you can get free digital copies of my 6 books. They're in Amazon, obviously on Kindle, Barnes and Noble. They are Nook books, and they are also in the iBook store. No opt-in, no nothing. I'll never know you got them. Just download them, read them, get a great education on me. But that's it. Until this time next week, another fantastic interview. I am Captain Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. You take good care.
Now it's time to go implement what you've learned. Great ideas are nice, but results only happen through action and implementation. So stay focused. Kick all distractions to the curb.
Sleep a little less if you have to.
And create your dream business now so you too can live your dream lifestyle. To learn about building your dream business, join Jim's free Dream Business Facebook community at dreambizgroup.com. That's dreambizgroup.com. See you next week for more Dream Business Radio.